All right, turn over to Psalm 23. I'm really excited about this series, going through and seeing what it means to be a sheep and what it means to have a shepherd like him. I feel like sometimes, well, I feel like all the time, but there's series that come at just the right time. And I've never taught through Psalm 23 and in all my life, and so all of a sudden now here it comes. I feel like it's at the perfect time. Perfect time for me at least. So once again, it's all about me, so let's pray. All right, Father, we do thank you that we can come and look at this truth that has comforted Christians for so many years. So many of your saints have found themselves back in this psalm, Lord, being comforted, seeing the promises to them, seeing the glories of having such a great shepherd. And so, Lord, I pray as we start this series, as we go through it, Lord, especially in these times that we're in where this world is just going absolutely crazy now, Lord, we do pray that we would find the peace of knowing who our shepherd is, that we would walk in the joy of all that that means. So, Lord, use this series in our lives. Use this series in this church. And, Lord, we anticipate great blessings as we go through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's read it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't know what that does to you. When I read Psalm 23, it just like washes over my soul. And I think, how great is it to know a God who wants to do that in our lives? We come to one of the most well-known passages in Scripture. We could call this, I don't know if you saw my Facebook post, but here's what I thought would be a great title for this series, The Song of a Contented Sheep. That's what David is. David, as he writes this, he is coming from the point of being contented in God as his shepherd, being centered in him. And so what David is doing is David is writing, and David was a shepherd himself, and he is writing what it actually means to have God as our shepherd. What does that mean? How glorious that is. And so David has put that down so we'll know. It is a psalm that has given so much comfort to troubled saints, so much peace and joy. Spurgeon called it the pearl of the psalms. Henry Ward Beecher said this, calling it a pilgrim. He said this psalm is like a pilgrim commissioned by God. And he wrote this, "Blessed be the day which this psalm was born." What would you say of a pilgrim commissioned of God to travel up and down the earth, singing such a melody when heard causes one to forget what sorrows he had? Amen. What a great psalm. A pilgrim sent by God to us to comfort us in our times of trouble. What we're going to look at is we're going to look at the shepherd tonight. Then we'll see the sheep. Then we'll look at the whole thought of him being our shepherd, or as David says, my shepherd. Let's look at the shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. So this wonderful psalm hinges on the question of this, who's your shepherd, right? David says, the Lord is my shepherd, but there are a lot of different shepherds we could have guiding us, influencing us, leading us. It could be a close friend. It could be a pastor. It could be a mindset that is popular in the world, or it could be the same shepherd that David had. Make sure it's the same shepherd David had, because all of the promises that we're going to see as we go through this psalm all hinge on who the shepherd is in your life, the one who is going to lead you into those promises. And there is only one that can lead you into these promises, and that is the Lord. So to give us comfort and confidence, I think we need to look at who that's speaking of. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, is he a good shepherd? Because it is possible to be a shepherd, but not be a very good one. Philip Keller, in probably the classic work on Psalm 23, he talks about, and he was a shepherd himself, he talks about a shepherd he lived right next to. His land came right up to his land. And he said he felt so sorry for those sheep because this shepherd didn't take care of them. He didn't feed them. They were diseased. He said they would just stare at you with hollow eyes. And he said the man called himself a shepherd, but he wasn't. He may have been a shepherd by title, but he wasn't a good shepherd. And so it's important for our confidence and for our faith and trust in what this psalm is going to tell us. We need to know what kind of shepherd we're going to surrender our lives to and follow. Is he a good shepherd? Is he a capable shepherd? If he isn't, if he's a bad shepherd, then the rest of this psalm just falls apart right there at that point. Well, let's look at the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? Well, when you see the word Lord there in Psalm 23:1, it's the English translation of the Old Testament name for God. It is the name that God called himself when talking to Moses at the burning bush. God said in Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you. That was God's name, Yahweh, I am. So this shepherd is the great I am that spoke from the burning bush to Moses. So that's the shepherd we're talking about. But I want to go even deeper than that, because some don't know, I don't think, but you've got to realize that later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes a very radical statement. And he says, the one speaking out of that bush, the great I am, he says, that was me. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, his disciples, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. You may have a translation that says, I am he, that he is in italics because it wasn't in the original manuscripts. And so Jesus is saying there, and it's radical, he is declaring that he was the pre-existent God who revealed himself to the Jews. He is saying he is the one that spoke to Moses out of that burning bush, the great I am of the burning bush. Now Jesus says in John 8:58, I am. I am that one that spoke to Moses. That famous story all of you Jews knew about, the one who moved in history to deliver your forefathers out of Egypt through Moses. I am the one who told him to do that, who called him, who commissioned him to deliver you. That was me. Do you think the Jews understood exactly what he was saying? How radical that statement was? The very next verse, John 8:59, here's their response. So they picked up stones to throw at him. They knew exactly what he was saying, that he was calling himself God. He is calling himself the great I am, the one who spoke to Moses out of the bush. So the same name used at the burning bush is used here in the word Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Then Jesus picks up that name and says, that's me. I am your shepherd. And he says the same thing in John 10:11, just showing you who the shepherd is here. He claimed to be the good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. So Jesus is the good shepherd. But what does that mean? Okay, I've got a shepherd and his name, I know him, Jesus. Jesus, my Savior, he's my shepherd. But what does it mean when God says that he is our shepherd? Now remember, the names of God, it's not like today when I was called Bill, that means absolutely nothing. But back in these days, a name meant something. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's why you call him Jesus, because that's what he's going to do. And so whenever you see one of the names of God, listen, what he is doing is he is, through that name, he's saying that identifies who I am. That identifies what I'm going to do. And so one of the names of the Lord is shepherd. He is shepherd. And so when God calls himself shepherd, when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he is telling us something. He's saying, I want you to know that everything a good shepherd is to the sheep, that's who I am to you. I am willingly taking on that responsibility and that obligation to be your shepherd. Well, what was a shepherd then? First of all, a shepherd lived with the sheep 24/7 because the task of caring for them was unending. They had the responsibility of nourishing, guiding, and protecting the sheep. Day and night, summer and winter, fair weather and foul, they lovingly cared for their sheep. The sheep had nothing then to worry about. That's the thing. The sheep had nothing to worry about because all of the obligation for everything they needed was the responsibility of the shepherd. All the sheep had to do was follow. Listen, follow. So Almighty God now, you got to get this. Almighty God has stooped to care for you. He has said, I'll take the responsibility for your life in its full. You just be the sheep. And I'll take care of the responsibility. I'll care for you. That's my obligation. He wouldn't have called himself shepherd if he wasn't going to do that. Now, you say, well, that's great, but is he capable to care for us? Does he have the resources? Well, all you got to do tonight when you go out is look up into the night sky and see the stars. Look out across the roaring ocean. Look into a powerful microscope, and Jesus, our shepherd, created all that. Colossians 1:16, for by him, Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So is he capable of being a shepherd, of providing, of protecting, of caring for you? Well, if he was capable of creating everything that we see, of course, that's who he is. He's capable. That's our shepherd. The one who created all this says, I have taken on the obligation to care for you. But does he want to care for us? What characterizes his shepherding of us? Well, what would characterize his shepherding is this, love. Right? He said in John, he said, he is the good shepherd who proved his love by laying down his life for the sheep. This means when you think about him laying down his life, I want to show you something here. It means we're doubly owned by him. In other words, he owns us because he created us. If he is our creator, that gives him the right of ownership over what he created, right? But there's more than that. He owns us because he purchased us. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So he owns us because he created us. That gives him right of ownership. But he owns us because he purchased us. Now, don't you take care of that which cost you a lot? I mean, the more it costs you, the more you take care of it, the more valuable it is, the more careful you are with it. I play guitar. You know what? I lose guitar picks all the time. You know why? Because they're cheap. You go and you buy a box of them. You get 50 of them at a time, and you lose them because it's like, it's a guitar pick. You know what? I've never lost a guitar. Why? Because a guitar costs a lot. That's valuable to me. I take great care of my guitars. I clean them and I make sure that everything's just right with them and all this because they cost a lot. The price Jesus was willing to pay for us was unimaginable, wasn't it? The greatest cost of anything ever purchased in the history of man, not only in the fact of the death on the cross, but all of it. The fact that he allowed man to spit on him. He allowed man to mock him. He allowed man to beat him. And then when he was hung on the cross in front of that mocking crowd, he allowed God to pour out our sins on him. Every vile act we have ever done, every vile thought, every vile attitude, Jesus took it and paid for it. Nobody has loved us like this. There has never been a price paid for anything like he has paid for us. He took our hell for us. Almighty God, the Father, poured out the full wrath our sin deserved on him. So he's a capable shepherd because he's God. He's able to provide all of our needs so sufficiently, mentally and physically, out of the immensity of who he is, that we can end up saying, I shall not want. I don't want. He's taken care of everything so completely that every area of my life, I'm content. In him, I'm content. I don't want. But he is not only a capable shepherd because he is God, he is a willing shepherd because he is our Savior. It cost him greatly to purchase us, his sheep. Therefore, he is going to take care of us carefully. His eyes, listen, brothers and sisters, you feel so alone sometimes. You are never alone. His eyes are always on you. He loves you so much. He sees everything you go through, and he's there for you. He is not a reluctant shepherd. He loves to bless and provide. He loves to see us filled with joy. He loves to take care of us. He loves to answer prayers. There is no reluctance in him at all. Listen, you've got it there, what Spurgeon said. But he is not only a shepherd. He is a good shepherd. For what he does well. Never does he neglect his flock. Not one ever perished because he forgot it. Since he never forgets, not one ever perished at all. He is a good shepherd because all that ought to be done, all that can be done, all that may be wished to be done towards his sheep, he does. No shepherd so intensely threw his heart into his calling as Christ throws his heart and soul into the sacred calling of the shepherd of Israel, or your shepherd. He gives for his people all that he has. Listen, he gives to his people all that he has. Yes, he gives himself. His power is their defense. His wisdom is their guidance. His love is their perpetual shield. His infinity is their storehouse. His omniscience is their protection. Why do we ever worry? Why do we let this life beat us up so much? It's because we just don't see what a great shepherd we have. I'm learning this more and more. Why is this so important to see? The magnitude and majesty, the love and care of our shepherd. Because all of the rest of these promises in this great psalm, they all depend upon who he is and what he's like. So it gives us confidence when we see who he is and what he's like. It gives us that confidence, that faith, that he is going to fulfill every one of his promises. Every one of these blessings that are going to come as we go through this psalm, he is going to fulfill them. He wants to. He longs to. He loves taking care of his sheep. But why do we need a shepherd? I mean, why do we need a shepherd at all? I mean, God calls himself shepherd so we can know what he is identifying himself with. But you know what? He calls us sheep so that we know what we should identify ourselves with, what we're like. Let's look at the sheep. I found the majority of this on Tim Challey's site, and I thought it was good, so I totally ripped him off. Now, this is him and my thoughts, too. But he said, sheep are dumb, sheep are directionless, sheep are defenseless. Let's look at that. I don't have this in your notes because I just want to tell you some stories and stuff. Sheep are dumb. They're copycats. If you ever watch a flock of sheep, you know what? They just follow each other. Like if one starts taking off and running, they say, you know what? He's the leader, and we're going to run too. They don't know why. I mean, if you ask the second one who is running why, he'd probably say, because that guy ran. And the third and fourth and fifth would say, because those guys ran. And you probably go to the first guy that started it all, say, why did you run? He'd go, I don't know. I read of a story, this is kind of sad, but it's kind of funny. 1,500 sheep in Turkey just walked off a cliff. One walked off the cliff, and they all followed. 400 of them died, and the 400 that died created such a cushion that the other 1,100 lived. They kind of fell into this soft pillow of dead sheep, I guess. But one walked off the cliff, and they all just walked off. That's just sheep for you. My grandmother used to say, if your friends jumped off the Empire State Building, would you? If I was a sheep, I would. What is the other animal that just follows each other off the cliff? Lemmings, right? These guys make lemmings look like nuclear physicists. And they're so slow to learn anything. No matter how painful the lesson, if a sheep gets caught up in barbed wire trying to break through a fence and gets hurt, guess what that sheep is going to do the next day and the day after that and the day after that? Right back into that barbed wire. They just don't learn. And God says, your sheep, I'm not sure it's a compliment. Sheep need a shepherd. We need a shepherd because we're not very smart. Sheep are probably the dumbest animals in the world. They need somebody to come along and say, I'll take care of you. And God looks down at us, his sheep, and he says, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry. I'll take care of you. Second thing, sheep are directionless. Sheep are prone to just wander off. I mean, they can be in perfect environment, green pastures, still waters, and eventually they just go. No reason, they just wander off. A pastor in the Scottish Highlands I was reading, he was surrounded by sheep up there. He said so many times he'd be out in the middle of nowhere and would come across the sheep, miles from anyone or anything, just standing there totally unconcerned. So sheep need a shepherd to manage them, to keep them under surveillance. If not, they're just going to walk into danger. They'll just do it. They have nothing in them that says, you know what, I probably shouldn't do that. They don't have that capacity. And so they need a shepherd who will take care of them and keep them out of danger, keep them from wandering off. Next one, the sheep are defenseless. If left to themselves, they won't last very long. Tim Challey said this, just about any other domesticated animal can be returned to the wild and will stand a fighting chance of survival. But not sheep. Put a sheep in the wild and you've just given nature a snack. They can't fight. They've got nothing to protect themselves with. No claws, no fangs, no venom. If you think, well, yeah, could they run? Well, running's out of the question because they're slow. They're awkward. They can't outrun anything. Well, maybe they can try to scare their attacker. You know, get big or, you know, like a dog growl or like a cat, you know, get their back all hunched up and hiss or maybe shake rattles like a snake. Nope. The best a sheep can do is baa. That's it. Challey says that's probably why none of us have guard sheeps. You know what a sheep does when a predator comes near? It's what they call flocking. They flock. What that means is they just gather with others in the pack and they run in circles in complete panic. That's their defense. Perhaps they're thinking maybe he'll get somebody else. But that's their defense. Just flock, panic, run in a circle. Without a shepherd to protect them, they're vulnerable to every predator. So, feeling pretty good about yourself? Sheep? Flock of sheep right now? God calls us that because it's a realistic assessment of who we are and therefore what we need. It is a title that constantly reminds us that we are completely dependent upon a shepherd, that we are not created to do this thing by ourselves, to live life without help, and without guidance, without care, and without protection. And praise God that Almighty God stoops down and says, I'll do all of that for you. I will take care of you. So, we've seen who the good shepherd is. We've seen who we are and why we need a shepherd in our lives. What that means is we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to say that assessment is correct, and I need help. I need a shepherd. And so it means also we're going to need to have faith that he is the shepherd he claims to be so that we can start resting in this world with his care and his protection and all he wants to do in our life. This should also create gratitude and praise in our hearts and encouragement. What started me thinking so much about Jesus lately and drawing near and Jesus alone, one of the things that was weighing on my heart was this. I was looking at this world, looking at what was happening, looking at what's going on in the Middle East, going everywhere. This world's absolutely falling apart, isn't it? And I thought to myself, the only safe place to be is right next to Jesus Christ. Bill, draw near. Jesus only. Jesus alone. He is the most important thing. Draw near. Surrender. And when I read Psalm 23, this is when Psalm 23, in the last few months, Psalm 23 has become so precious to me. Because when I read Psalm 23, I see what I want, what you need, as we go through these tough times this world's facing. We need a shepherd who's going to lead us into green pastures and beside still waters, don't we? We need a shepherd who tells us that you can have joy no matter what. that I will set up a feast for you in the midst of enemies. I'll so take care of you that you will have no cares or concerns. I find this psalm to be one of the greatest treasures. I go back to it again and again and again. And my desire now as a pastor is just to share Jesus, teach you about Him, so that you'll have joy and you'll have peace. That's what it's all about, isn't it? So what this psalm tells me is, Bill, you can take your hands off of the wheel. Stop staring. Rip off, and I never had one of these, but rip off, God is my co-pilot. That bumper sticker, ever see that? God is my co-pilot. No. No, you get in the back seat and let Him drive. Let Him steer, because He's going to steer you into green pastures and beside still waters. That's where He wants to take you. Let's look at one more thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. So important, that little word my, isn't it? What does this mean? It means we personally know Him. He is my shepherd because He is my Savior. Unbelievers in the Scriptures, they're never called sheep. You know what they're called? They're called things like wolves and goats, but never sheep. This is only to those who are converted. These promises, these blessings are to a very select audience then. Those who can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my Savior. So have you seen you're a sinner, seen your need of a Savior, and have you gone to Him personally and asked Him to save you? The Lord is my shepherd. This means we're following Him. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep in this psalm benefit from having such a good shepherd, but they've got to follow Him where He's leading, don't they? He wants to take them to green pastures and beside still waters, but they've got to follow Him when He's taking them there. And it's interesting when it says, my sheep hear my voice. If you ever see the flocks where there's a lot of flock of sheep, you know what happens? They're all mingling in, and you know it's just a mess. And then one of the shepherds will rise up, and he'll call his sheep, and his sheep instantly recognize his voice, and they line up right with him. And he walks off, and all of his sheep are right there. They will not recognize anybody else's voice. In fact, if somebody starts yelling and yelling again, you know what? They get troubled. They get upset. It's a voice they don't recognize. And they'll go over to their shepherd for protection. But his sheep know his voice. And so when we know his voice, we hear what he's saying and we follow him. The Lord's going to lead you into all these blessings, but you must be then somebody who is willing to be led. These promises are for those who will allow God to take them into those promises. Third thing is, this means we live in a state of dependence upon him. I live by faith. I live by confidence of his guidance, provision, and protection. Notice what David said, the Lord is my shepherd. There was no question in David. He is my shepherd. I depend upon him. What a way to live. Christ is my shepherd. He has taken on the responsibility of caring for me. I find the more I depend upon him by faith, the more I run this truth through my mind daily, all of the things about God being a good shepherd in my life. You know what's happening? When the world comes at me, when those storms hit, I find more and more that I am laying down beside still waters because the Lord is my shepherd. He's got it. He's going to take care of me. This is not about me trying to take care of it all. He's got my back. He's got it covered. He has willingly taken on the obligation to care for me. He's taken on the responsibility. It's his responsibility. That's why Peter says, he says, cast your cares upon him. Don't carry him. Cast your cares upon the shepherd because he cares for you. Give them to him and rest. Find your rest in him. Find your sufficiency in him. Let him become your joy and your security and your peace. Christ needs to be your treasure. I mean, this is just fantastic. This is life-changing, rest-producing truth. Here is where you want to live. You want to live right in Psalm 23 in your life every day, because that will change your life. Here David rejoices in this truth that he has such a shepherd who will spare no pain for the welfare of his sheep. one who has willingly taken on that obligation. Listen, I know some of you are going through such hard times. He is your shepherd. He cares. So, let's conclude this then. We all need a shepherd. Why? Well, because we're sheep, right? We saw what we're like. I have no idea what tomorrow will bring. You know what? And left to myself, even if I knew what tomorrow would bring, I'd probably still blow it. I mean, just knowing what it's going to bring doesn't mean I'm not going to still be stupid. I wander off, and he chases me down. Isn't that your history? How many times have you wandered off like the sheep who's standing out there miles away from nowhere, unconcerned about everything, not a clue, and here comes a shepherd going, let's go home, bring you back. Isn't that your history? That'll be your history until you're in glory. God will chase you down again and again and again until you're safe with him, until your heart doesn't wander anymore. Praise God, we have a good shepherd that's faithful. Praise God, he's faithful even when we're not, right? I take forever to learn lessons. I mean, I'm learning things in the Bible right now. You know, 38 years. Carrie says I've been a Christian for 38 years. I'm going to go ahead and buy that because I'm no good with dates. Again, that stupid thing. You know what? There are things I'm learning now that I think, you know what? Why didn't I learn that like 35 years ago? Why is it just getting through this thick skull now, Lord? What is wrong with me? And he whispers, sheep. Oh, yeah. That's why I keep jumping into the barbed wire. Isn't it good that he's a faithful, patient shepherd? That he doesn't go, I am dead tired of you, man. That he just keeps picking us back up again, saying, you're going to get this one day. You'll get it. I'm patient. I can wait, but you'll get it. How good it is to have a good shepherd. I live in a world that's chaotic and confusing, but I live under the care of a great shepherd through it all. Man, is that good? Is that good when you turn on CNN and after about 30 minutes you're going, what? I have never seen the world like this. Ebola, the Middle East is on fire. Russia. I mean, you just go through, and after 30 minutes, you're just going, unbelievable. And yet, the Lord is my shepherd, and I have peace through it all. God, everything's right on time. Not only in the world, because it's your history, but in my life, you will care for me. I would suggest you read this psalm again and again. Listen, I would read it at least once a day as we go through this whole series. This psalm is going to change your life as you see how well taken care of you are by the Almighty Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are as we watch this world be tossed to and fro. Circumstances that just frighten so many. And yet here we are, sheep of your flock, with the best shepherd ever. The one who has obligated himself to take care of us, to provide for us, to protect us. God, help us to rest in that. Help us not to see this psalm and just let it lay on the pages of Scripture, but help us to take it out of the book, apply it in our lives, and learn how to rest and how to celebrate the fact that we have a shepherd such as you, that we are so well taken care of. And I thank you, Lord, that you have taken care of us with no reluctance. You have signed on to the responsibility of shepherding us, the obligation of it all, so willingly, God, that it is your delight to take care of us. We're amazed, breaks our heart, Lord, and all we can do is worship a God like you who has been so gracious and kind to sheep like us. In Jesus' name, amen.